listening to Trending with Timory, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timory holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
Coming up a little later on in today's show, my former co-host Chris Mueller is going to be with us. What a treat. He's going to be sharing with us a little bit about life over the last year or so. He's doing incredible work over there with Everyday Catholic and now his show, Everyday Catholic, that is to be featured on EWTN. So stay tuned because he'll be sharing about his family's battle with his younger son, who they found out had cancer last year, and just how it's turned their life upside down and how they've had faith and have persevered in the middle of those very serious challenges. We'll also be talking about wasting time during the coronavirus and what we can do to be more intentional and thrive. I want to start by talking about kind of the atmosphere of anxiety and fear that is surrounding us, because I'm noticing that, yes, the idea of preparations and having extra frozen food and canned food and whatever it might be is important. And even staying clean, you know, washing our hands, being a little more sanitary. I hate these two words, but the social distancing, you know, giving a little bit more space, a wider berth to people. All of these things we can look at, and they're essentially supposed to be precautions. They're not supposed to implement fear. They're not supposed to implement anxiety. And so from a distinctly Catholic perspective, I keep saying, I think this is our time to really thrive in terms of how we interact with the people around us and what is coming to the forefront of our hearts, our minds, how we're like letting our fingers check maybe too much news information and social media right now. You know, how are we going to handle this? Will it be in fear and trembling? Or will we be courageous? Will we know that God is on our side? We are being faithful to Him, and we're working toward being in a state of grace. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in a second, but I want to talk about the two options you have right now. You can be fearful, you can be anxious, you can be consumed by your anxiety, or you can have courage. Courage is a virtue, but here's the reality of courage. Courage is to act in the face of fear. So yes, there may be some fears that are coming up, but to be courageous is to acknowledge that and still act, to act faithfully, to act with hope, to act cautiously. But again, to not let that fear and anxiety take over who you are. You know, honestly, we're going to make ourselves sick. We are going to compromise our own immune systems if we suddenly stop exercising because we're home now and the gyms are closed. We've got to stay physically active. We're going to make ourselves, you know, mentally sick by, you know, not trusting in God. You guys, we need to trust in the providence of God. And that's to be open that, you know, whether it's the timing of whenever you may or may not get a certain job in your life, whether it's the time of when you're going to have a child, when you're going to meet your spouse, when you're going to eat today, you need to be open to recognizing that we are not in control. And I think that that's one of the lessons I really seen and heard standing out so seriously in front of us lately, from our priests and our bishops, that we may not agree with no access to the Mass. We may not agree with the different restrictions that have been placed regarding receiving communion on the hand instead of on the tongue. You know, there are a bunch of things that we could talk about, but our priests, our very holy priests, are saying, I may not agree, but I'm called to obedience, and I'm called to obedience in everything but sin. And I think that same level of respect and honor with regard to obedience is important for us to remember with regard to the fear going on. I'm called to be courageous. I'm called to trust in God's providence at this point in time, even if that means, and I get it when I say financially, this is going to be a really difficult road for some people. A lot of us are being impacted financially by what's happening with the coronavirus, but we need to trust in God's providence and maybe trust in, even in the fact that maybe this is a time for me to learn how to live a little more leanly. Maybe this is the time for me to be a little more creative. Maybe this is time for me to have greater solidarity with people who are struggling financially, to be, you know what, I actually really do have a lot, but I'm very superfluous with how I spend or with how I use the things in my home and maybe even how I waste the food and resources that I have. We need to trust in God's providence and the situation we have been given at this point in history. And don't be afraid. How many times in scripture do we read, do not be afraid? And this was the challenge that Pope St. John Paul the Great posed to young people so many times. Do not be afraid. We're called to be modern saints. We're called to be living, breathing saints here on earth. So what does that mean in this current culture? You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Thanks for being with me. A little later on, Chris Mueller is going to be joining us here. We'll be talking about things we can do to thrive in the midst of quarantine and so forth. And he'll also be sharing his testimony of the recent battle that his family has been experiencing with their younger son having cancer. I want to look at the fact that in scripture, historically, if we look just, for example, at ancient Israel, in certain circumstances, when they turned their back on God, certain things happened. So I'm going to give you a couple examples because I think there's a level of relevance and a spiritual component to what we can learn about the fact that a lot of us no longer have access to the Holy Mass, to Eucharistic Communion. As of right now, as I'm recording this, we do have access to things such as confession and so forth. But this is a point in history where our access, at least as Americans and other places, has really diminished. And I'm thinking about this in terms of our history, our biblical history. For example, when the Israelites leave Egypt, they end up wandering in the desert for 40 years looking for the promised land. But we can't forget the fact that they found the promised land much earlier on, but because they kind of criticized what it was, because they didn't like the circumstances that they were being handed, they weren't willing to take the promised land, to take what God had given them. And so what happened? God allowed them to wander for 40 years. And that original generation that left Egypt, that was delivered from Egypt in the Exodus, was never allowed to enter into the promised land. Why? Because they turned their backs on God. Another example that we could look at, yet again, the Israelite people turned their backs on God by failing to worship Him correctly. And what happens? The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the most prominent and cherished of all holy objects, right? Things that had, for example, the Ten Commandments inside of it. Things that had, for example, the staff of Aaron inside of it. And these are the things that were so important. That is like the equivalent of the tabernacle in our Catholic churches today. The equivalent of, you know, again, it's not the same thing, but ancient Israel held in such prominence at that point in history, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, even just the way that we read the cherubim and the fire and the cloud traveled over the Ark of the Covenant, we're talking about incredibly holy history, something that those people held with high reverence. Well, what happens? They fail to worship God. They commit idolatry. And God allows for the Ark of the Covenant to be stolen from the Israelites. I kind of wonder if that's part of what's happening to us right now. Here in the United States, we do have freedom of worship. Yes, there are certain things that take place that, you know, for example, conscience rights and so forth, and our ability to act according to our faith in the public sphere. There are battles that we are facing, but we do have incredible access and freedom to the sacraments at this point in history. But maybe we've taken for granted all of the access to the Eucharist. Maybe we've been receiving our Lord in the state of mortal sin. You know, one person just commented on my social media earlier this week saying, you know what, maybe this is a time for the confession lines to be better and longer than the lines for the Eucharist, because how many of us are unworthily receiving our Lord? Or how many of us are checking out and tuning out when we're supposed to be at Mass and we're thinking about our worries or what we're going to do later or who we're going to hang out with or that argument you had with so-and-so, and we're not worshiping the one high God. So we can't forget that right now it's Lent and we are called to be among the people who are engaging in this radical self-mortification, prayer, fasting, abstinence. Oh boy, abstinence, right? Or sorry, almsgiving. I always say that. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Almsgiving. Helping those out who need the help right now. Being a little more lean with what we have. Fasting. You know what? We might need to be rationing food a little bit at a certain point. That might happen. Or maybe financially, this is hurting your bottom line. And fasting and offering reparation for our sins, for the sins of the flesh, for the sins of our family, for the sins of the world. We need to be offering up this fasting and almsgiving at this time, along with the prayer. So my challenge to you is to be in a state of grace and let this period of a national crisis be the time where you say, I don't care if I'm in a national crisis or I'm living my day-to-day life. I am done with sin. You know, the priest just this weekend was saying that he's heard so many confessions, you would think it was the end times. If only we were to always live as if it were the end times, that our death was imminent. But you guys, our death is imminent. Sure, maybe you could die of the coronavirus next week. Maybe you could get into a car accident today on the way to Costco. Maybe you could get into a fight over eggs tomorrow. And who knows what happens? I mean, these are just hypotheticals, but we do not know when our life will end, just like we don't know when the second coming of Christ will be. So have we taken Christ and his sacraments for granted? It's something to think about. And I really want to encourage you, maybe when you have some downtime or take the downtime, how can we be more attentive to our faith? On another note, I want to talk about this attitude of having a clean body versus a clean soul and kind of this panic we're having financially right now. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timory. It's great to be with you. You can follow me on Instagram or any social media at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. So right now there's this attitude, okay, stay sanitary, wash your hands again, you know, social distancing, keep your distance, but are we having that same attitude about our soul right now? If you're so afraid, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of starving? Are you afraid of dying? What are you afraid of? The reality is we should not fear. Fear is not of God, but we should be preparing our soul at all times for our death. There's this book that I love. It's called Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And this book is such an incredible opportunity to be reminded that death is imminent. And I want to give you four lessons from that book. There are a ton more in there. I would really recommend if you're not doing something yet this Lent, pick up this book, order it. Amazon might take a little while at this point to get to you. I know everything's been slowed down, but this is an awesome book to help you take your faith more seriously and to put even things such as a coronavirus or whatever you're going through into context. First, we need to remember that we take nothing to the grave. We're born with nothing. We're born naked. We go into the grave with nothing. So whatever financial fears you may have, whatever things you need materialistically, whatever relationships and everything that are going on, we take nothing with us. And we need to remember that. Second, death is final. You're judged according to your life up to that point. When you die, death is final. And this is why it's important to remember this too. St. Alphonsus, who's an incredible moral doctor of the church, talks about how last minute conversions, deathbed conversions, are extremely rare. You lived your life apart from God, you're not likely to want him or to even have him or being able to even fathom him at the end of your life. If you have had animosity, anger, resentment, if he were to be offered to you, you likely would not even want him. Those deathbed conversions do happen, but they're rare. And so it's important for us to not waste time and say, I always have tomorrow. And four, the world must take sin more seriously. We must take mortal sin more seriously, all sin. Not just wait till next year before Easter to give our confession, but to do it now. This is why the confession lines are so busy right now and why people say it's like the end times, because people are taking their faith a little more seriously. But that's because they kind of see death as maybe imminent. Maybe this is a wake-up call for us to prepare for our death at all times, not just today. Thanks for being with me. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Joining me now is Chris Mueller. You may remember him as a regular guest with us on Trending. You can find Chris at everydaycatholic.com. And in fact, Chris, your show, Everyday Catholic, is getting ready to air sometime soon on EWTN. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty exciting. We kind of been testing it out on social media, and I think we're looking at posting it after Lent because it's a little, you know, our show is a little bit unexpected in Catholic television and maybe not quite the Lenten feel. So I think they're going to look at coming out after Lent.
Excellent. So keep your eyes peeled for Everyday Catholic, new show with Chris Mueller, family-friendly and incredibly informative. You can get just a taste of that at everydaycatholic.com. Well, there isn't a better time to think about being Catholic every day than right now. And Chris, I want to talk about this kind of thing that I've been noticing before even the coronavirus hit. And that is that so many people anymore have been going out really sick. They've been coming to work sick. They've been going to church really sick. And I know at least in our household at one point, like I think from October until February, we had a cold at least once a month. And I kept saying, like, people just keep showing up at our house or going places sick and not letting us know. And I feel like it's because there's such an aversion to rest. Like, I don't know if it's fear of missing out or obsession with work, but have you noticed the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we are, you know, I just wrote about this, actually, that as a culture, we're just getting sicker and sicker because we never stop. I mean, even our you know, even when we take our weekends, they're so full of things that we're doing for fun, I mean, that we come back exhausted, right? And the idea of Sabbath has just been lost to us. You know, we just don't rest.
It's hard because even when we were kids, I remember when I was a kid, you know, if we were sick, you might not even go to church. And I know sometimes people think like, oh man, you know, I've got to go to Mass. Actually, your Sunday obligation is you're no longer obliged to go to church if you're sick. I mean, there are elderly at church that we need to be more aware of. A cold can hit them much harder than it can hit someone else. And same thing with work offices. You know, I was talking to actually Solidarity Healthshare the other day, and they said just their bill processing office has been hit with mono, the flu, basic colds that at times they've been like wiped out half of them at a time because people keep coming to work sick. So my attitude is, what can we do to be better about not going out sick in general?
You know, it's so hard. And I think it's something we need to look at systemically too, because, you know, the idea of calling into work and saying, oh, I'm not coming in, I have a cold. Well, that's a great way to not get promoted, you know, or to not work there anymore. You know, we sort of praise the hard worker, the guy who never missed a day. You know, we have awards at school for the kid with perfect donation. And we've always laughed about that. We're like, well, that's the kid who got our kid sick, right? Because everybody gets sick every now and then. But it's hard if you're a part-time worker or you're in a high stress environment at work, and you may feel like that's your margin. That's the difference between, you know, making it this month and not making it. And so you go in. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things that we maybe need to look at and say, well, gosh, how much is this costing us in productivity? You know, the idea of you can't take a day off or you won't get paid or you won't get promoted. Well, gosh, how much are we losing in productivity because of that? And how can we adjust the way we look at, you know, these, I guess we call, minor illnesses like a cold? Well, gosh, it's minor for you, but for your immune suppressed friend or for an elderly person, that's not minor at all. I mean, that can be, you know, that can take people down for months at a time.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying this, two things occur in my mind to this. I want to hear your thoughts. On one side, you know, maybe you're an hourly employee and taking time off from work or whatever it might be, like it really impacts your bottom line. It impacts your not so much quality of life, but ability to live. So my question is, maybe
Sure.
we have too high of a quality of life at a certain point, you know, we're spending too much. Or maybe we need to, you know, just learn on having a reserve so that when we need that rest, we have it. Then on the other end of the spectrum, are we living to work or are we working to live? We're called to live and work as necessary. So basically, that kind of debate and debacle there is we're called to work to live. We're not supposed to, you know, constantly be looking at work as the meaning to everything in life. And I think that that's part of the problem as well, not just the financial, but the fact that that's where we think we have to be in order to survive.
Yeah, you know that idea of are we living above our means? Well, yeah. I mean, we know that there's a credit card debt crisis looming, student debt, all of those things. And the idea of sort of having no debt, I mean, it is a revolution. There's a freedom in it, right? And as people of faith, we should strive to live within our means. You know, scripture speaks to that so often. But it's a change of mindset. And you're right, I think there are a lot of people who are living month to month, or even ahead of that month, right? And it can spiral so quickly. And so, yeah, that question of, gosh, you know, even as a culture, maybe we've become addicted to this idea of free money, and the money isn't free. You know, the cost in stress to your life, the cost in illness in your workplaces, all of those things. But yeah, are we living to work or are we working to live? You know, we're just on a rat wheel in so many ways. You know, that when we get the downtime, it's almost like we don't know what to do with it. You know, we have to fill it with something else so that we're not even resting at that point. Even our leisure, like I said earlier, isn't rest, it's work. And you know, right now, kind of living in the coronavirus, you know, situation, there's a lot of people who are going to have to come to grips with that addiction to motion, the addiction to busyness, the addiction to doing. You know, now we have to stop and we have to rest. And I think it's an opportunity. It's a hard reset for our culture, and hopefully one we'll learn from.
That's Chris Mueller. You're listening to Trending with Tim, where you can find Chris at everydaycatholic.com. I'll be sure to tweet out links to him as well on social media. You can find me, especially on Instagram, at Timmery. That's TimMmerie. Chris, I'm looking at this attitude of autopilot, basically, that you're talking about, and how, you know, we're just used to running on where we're at, whether that means that, you know, we're just coexisting with student loan debt and credit card debt and we're not doing anything about it. Like, we're just building one anxiety on top of another. And I know for some people, they are just one disaster away from hitting rock bottom. And maybe that's the coronavirus for you. Maybe you're being hit so hard, you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And that's one of those moments where we have to reach out if that's where you're at right now. But I think, again, we've got to come back to lean practices and how can we, especially as Catholics, bring forward this attitude that we only have today and let today's worries be sufficient for today. And so don't do things that are going to give us kind of long-term anxiety for 20 years out by going, okay, I'm going to like rack up a bunch of credit card debt up today.
Yeah, you know, I saw a post. Someone said, you know, I wasn't planning on giving up quite this much for Lent, and I think there's some truth to that, right? I think in this time, we're really going to have to be looking at, gosh, what are my needs? What are my needs versus what are my wants? My dad always used to say that, you know, there are wants and there are needs. Is this a want or is this a need, right? And you know, this time of Lent, I mean, this is a specific moment in history that this comes upon us. I think we do have to say, gosh, Lord, help me to see what are the needs and what are the wants, and help me to maybe spend less time on my wants and more on my needs so I have more time, more freedom from the stuff, from the things that sort of keep me stressed out.
I think that's a really great example. And maybe even, you know, doing something as simple as, I know for me, writing things down really helps. Write it down. One side, you know, needs, one side wants. What do I need to get through? You know, let's say if, you know, you're quarantined for a long period of time, you know, basic food. What are kind of the luxuries of food, or what are the basics that you can store up and have so that you don't have to worry about starving at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reality for a lot of us right now, for sure.
That's Chris Mueller. You're listening to Trending with Timmer. You can find him at everydaycatholic.com. That's everydaycatholic.com. We'll be right back as he shares his own family's battle with cancer.
Timmery will be right back. Send her a tweet at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, where reality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
It's great to be back with you. Thanks for taking us wherever you are traveling. You can also catch us at radiotrending.com so that you don't have to miss an episode. Chris Mueller is with me from Everyday Catholic, and we'll be sharing in just a moment about their story over the last year, how he and his family have been battling cancer with one of their youngest sons. First, a message from our sponsors. Solidarity HealthShare is simple, to help pay for affordable, quality health care. They enable the community to share in each other's eligible medical expenses. You choose the doctors that you want to see. Even integrative and alternative medical treatments are eligible. Solidarity HealthShare helps pay for NAPRO technology and costs associated with natural family planning. Solidarity HealthShare is dedicated to both faith and your health care. Information is available at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Chris Mueller is here joining me. We want to talk about things such as coping in crisis, savoring family time, and having faith in the midst of the unfathomable. They're asking people right now in the midst of the coronavirus to be far more cautious, to stay home, have that social distancing, in particular for people with suppressed immune systems, compromised immune systems, and the elderly. So Chris, share with us a little bit how this relates to you and your family, because I imagine you guys are being far more careful given your experience with Ben.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Jesus says in the gospel, right, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And, you know, he says that so that we would have peace, right? He says it right before he goes to the cross. And I think as Christians, it's so important to remember that, particularly in times like this when life just doesn't make sense, right? This is just what is going on. And we're called to remember that life is more than this moment. Our life is eternity, right? And that's come home for us as a family. This has been just one of those years where you just can't believe it's happening. And there's a long story short, Good Friday of 2019, we were watching an animated retelling of the gospel. And we have, you know, a multi-generational family from toddlers to teens. And as we watched, our three-year-old was just being his normal wiggly three-year-old self. And it just was this moment of alignment where he stood in front of my wife and I was standing behind her. And we noticed at the same moment on the left side of his neck, there was just a large lump. We'd never seen it before. It was just right there. I'd literally taken him for a haircut a couple days before and nobody noticed it. And it was weird, you know? And so we sent a picture to a pediatrician friend. And in the majority of cases like this, it's nothing. And so we kind of went about life, you know, waiting for it to go away, and it didn't, you know, and got to the point where I had a trip to speak in Canada, and I was going to be gone for a whole week doing a bunch of high schools and, you know, just, you know, normal life, and it just didn't go away. And so I was literally on the other side of the continent from my wife when she just said, this is too much. She emailed our pediatrician again, and he made an appointment with a specialist, or moved our appointment with a specialist up. And then, you know, we found out the specialist, you know, slid up and put his hands on Ben's neck and kind of palpitated and pushed his chair away and looked at my wife and said, I normally tell parents not to worry about this kind of thing, but I'm very concerned. And, you know, I was sitting there in my hospital room, my hotel room in Ontario, and my wife was there at home, and our life changed in a minute, you know, and they scheduled a biopsy. And a week later, we found out that he has a T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma. It is cancer. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly everything changes. But, you know, it's interesting. We had that conversation right away, my wife and I, sort of, you know, the reality is we've been fighting for Ben's life before we even met him. You know, in the womb, we began fighting for his life. Because we, you know, that's our perspective. His life is not this moment. His life is eternity. And that's our goal for him, right? And that, we pray, will be his goal for himself. And so, yeah, the last 9 months have been intense. He's been traveling through chemo blocks. And what chemo does is it, you know, it takes down his immune system. And in his case, his immune system is the enemy. It's, you know, his immune system's what's creating the cancer. And so at various points, he's had zero immune system. Right now, we're at a point where he has a suppressed immune system, but there is some there. But, you know, there's numbers. His ANC is what they talk about. You know, in a typical person, it can be over 1,500 to, you know, 3,000 ANC. And that's your white blood cell count. In Ben, that's now closer to 750. You know, so it's significantly less. And so, you know, the thing like a virus, we actually had coronavirus, not this coronavirus. He had a coronavirus earlier this year, and we were in the hospital for a week with that. This one is a lot nastier than that one. And so, you know, people say, oh, well, it's just, you know, older people who are going to get this. Well, my son's four now. And so social distancing is very important because, you know, it's not just the elderly, and we want to protect them too, but it's four-year-olds, it's paraplegics who can't cough, it's a whole group of people who are dealing with health challenges, who need your help. I mean, they need you to take this seriously and stay inside, because if you don't, then someone who was doing everything right may end up in a situation that they can't get out of, you know. And again, yeah, our son is one of those people.
Chris, thank you for sharing your story. I cannot even imagine the ups and downs you guys have been experiencing, but I know from my perspective and following your journey, I am just amazed at your level of faith, your level of, you know, I know there are those moments, but of still joy in the midst of all of these challenges, and really the appreciation I have seen in following your journey for just the moments you have together and each day that you have. What's probably been the biggest thing that has changed in the day to day, and then the biggest thing that you're grateful for?
Oh, man. You know, you wash your hands a lot more. I think that's, you know, what's the biggest thing? We obviously wash our hands always. And, you know, it's funny, we're always talking about washing your hands, but, you know, that day to day change is, you know, I sit, you know, I work from home, and he'll come into my office and just be on his stuff while I'm working sometimes when my wife has to go run errands. And I look at his little bald head, and I just cherish this moment, because the next moment isn't a guarantee for any one of us, right? And thank God Ben's numbers, you know, his outcomes look very, very good. We're in a good situation, but it's still, you know, you still go, okay, well, this every day is a gift. Every moment is a gift. And, you know, I think people forget that, you know, faith is a must. You know, faith is, you know, the parable of talents I always go back to, right? To those who have, more will be given. If we look for how God is moving, we'll see him. And as we see him moving, we see him more. If we choose to look only at the hardship, only at the challenge, only at the trial, and forget that God is moving, then we're going to miss it. And so we look for the blessing in every day. We look for the miracles. And there have been, you know, plenty of them. Because God is moving, God is alive, God is real. And God is the God of this moment, too. And so that's definitely been, you know, one of the things that's changed, but we're just trying to be more and more cognizant of. You know, of course, challenges are, you know, like July, Ben was in the hospital pretty much the whole month with fevers, and he had some allergies to medicines. And you know, and throughout this whole thing, there's a challenge to stay connected, you know, to let it not be, you know, obviously it's consuming and it takes a lot of the focus, but just trying to make sure our family stays connected, that nobody gets left behind, that everybody, you know, again, we're not fighting for just one kid's life. We're fighting for six kids' lives, right? And that perspective, too. Every single person in this family is important. And so everybody's victories are victories. Everybody's challenges are challenges. We fight together. And that's something that we, you know, it's the balance is always a struggle when you're dealing with something so urgent, right? But it's something I think we've overcome, but it's definitely something we've had to focus on, for sure.
That's Chris Mueller. You're listening to Trending with Timory. You can find Chris Mueller at everydaycatholic.com. Chris, I just want to thank you for your faith and message of hope that you share, because there are a lot of people who have been in the shoes that you are in but are not able to cope in the same way because they do not have the faith that you have. And this is why, you know, we're at this point in history, like you said, with the coronavirus, this is a moment for us to dig our heels in a little further into our faith. Now, there was a thing that you said a minute ago, a moment where you said you looked at your wife and you guys talked about how we've been fighting for his life, for Ben's life, since before he was even in the womb. And I think that this is a distinctly pro-life and very Catholic attitude, that this life is not suddenly less valuable. We don't suddenly have this attitude like, man, what if we hadn't had Ben? No, you have this attitude that we have always sought the value and the meaning and the importance of his life, despite whatever challenge might come for this little boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a parent, that has to be your perspective. You know, the other thing I'd say is what's been a blessing is, you know, my parents taught us a habit of worship, that worship is reflexive in our family. And, you know, my dad, in any challenging circumstance, the first thing I hear him say is, oh, praise God, you know, it's just kingdom living, you know, and, you know, we try to maintain that perspective. And so, you know, again, if you have a habit of worship in the good times that you've relied on, you know, then when challenge comes, that's where you go, because that's who we are, right? Our God is God, mm-hmm. And his glory is his, you know, and he deserves worship. And, you know, even in the hospital room, my hotel room in Canada, as I was dealing with this, processing this by myself, and my wife's so far from me, you know, I just, like, you can break down in tears or you can break down in worship. And that's where we went. And that's where we've always tried to go, to just proclaim God's glory in every moment, even when it's hard, right? And so that's, you know, if there's anything I would say, you know, how do you prepare for trial? For my life, you know, praise God, my parents instilled a habit of worship in our prayer life. And it's been one that's definitely served us through some hard times this year, for sure.
This is one of those moments where I think about how we talk in the Catholic tradition about contemplative prayer and learning to pray all day. And I say all the time, it's not a matter of praying Hail Marys all day, but it's a matter of being connected to God in each moment, being grateful for what you have, seeing God in the person you're interacting with, in the challenging circumstances, in the moments for joy. This is what we need in order to handle crisis.
You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
Wow, we were just talking off air about how it's so consuming what's going on right now. And, you know, over checking social media, the news, text messaging, maybe spending too much time in general on social media right now. We've got to be careful with what we're doing with our time. We need to take control and appreciate and savor these moments we have right now. Chris Mueller, head of Everyday Catholic, is here with me. You can find Everyday Catholic at everydaycatholic.com. Chris, you were just commenting to me a second ago about how, again, we feel like we're in more control when we're checking everything, but in reality, it's not helping anything.
No, it's so true. You know, it's funny. We were just talking about Ben, my son, in the last segment, and, you know, I found myself, when he was diagnosed, just trying to learn everything I could about everything, right? And at one point, I had to realize that I'm just trying to be in control of something I can't be in control of. And, you know, there's obviously, educating yourself is necessary. And with the coronavirus, we want to know how it's transmitted. We want to know how to keep our family safe. There's some prudence in that. But in the same respect, the constant information-seeking loop of going from social media to the news sites, back to social media, back to the news sites, it's not doing us any good. You know, so check in every now and then. You know, but for the most part, it's one of those situations where you have to admit, okay, this is bigger than me. I personally am not going to solve it. And I can't control it. So I just kind of have to submit myself and just to say, Lord, I trust you, Jesus, I trust in you. You know, I mean, that's, I think that's the only recourse we have at a time like this. And it's a great recourse.
I love that.
You know, like,
yes, I agree. And I mean, right now we have, you know, a unique opportunity. Like, what are we going to do with our time? And I keep making the joke, I said it to you earlier and to James as well. You know, I loved growing up in the mountains because there would be times where we'd have a lot of power outages. You know, it was just easier for the power to go out in the midst of a wind, a snowstorm, whatever it was. And those were always such fun memories. I remember one time, you know, living in Southern California mountains, we've had all of these fires. And at times, all the power lines would be out for, you know, a couple weeks at a time. And just before we were evacuated one of the times, you know, here we are, it's late at night, no power. Our next door neighbors have the generator. And yet, all the kids from the next door neighbor's house were over at our house because there's something about coming around, you know, that little bit of light, getting nice and close to stay warm and, you know, playing board games, just talking and delighting in each other's company. You know, it would almost be more fun if we didn't have our technology right now. So that's something we kind of need to work on, how we handle and appreciate this time moving forward. And Chris, that's something you actually wrote about in this awesome article there. They're at Everyday Catholic called Planning to Thrive.
Yeah, you know, we have six kids, and there's a number of people in our home. And that provides its own challenges, right? Because, you know, we've got young kids, we've got old kids, we have teenagers to toddlers. And, you know, everybody is so easily drawn into their screens, right? For my young kids, that means just watching Disney Plus all day long. For my older kids, it's escaping into text messaging and online gaming and sort of the online world. And so I was really inspired by a friend, Dr. Bob Rice from Franciscan University, who posted just a picture of what he was doing with his family. It was just a picture of their schedule for the day. And I thought, gosh, that is so true. And it inspired us to set up sort of a schedule for our day and sort of thinking about what's the skeleton, right? Like, what are the things that we can do to not only make it, but to make it out stronger, right? So our family will be closer, so that our faith will be stronger, so that physically we'll be healthier, right? All of those things. How do we thrive in this social distancing time? And so, yeah, we've set up a little schedule for ourselves and really thinking about, you know, like, how can we limit screen time? How can we pray together? You know, how can we make our food stores go better and really have meals be a time of community gathering? And so we're going old school. You know, we've got a blocks of time set up and things like, you know, we eat together as a family. We kind of eat all one thing. So we appreciate it more. We don't waste any. Because it'd be so easy right now to just graze, you know, just to graze out of the cupboard, the refrigerator all day long. You know, I got bored of what I do, I eat. And the food disappears and no one's really getting nutrition. They're just, you know, filling themselves. And it's the same thing with social media, right? It's so easy to just graze all day long because we're looking for connection, but we're not actually getting it. It's kind of like we're getting the junk food of connection. And so to be more intentional about that so that it can benefit us rather than hurting us. You know, we don't want to get out of this lethargic and depressed, right? We want to be healthier, happier, and holier. And that's always the goal.
That's Chris Mueller of Everyday Catholic. You're listening to Trending with Timmery. You can find me on social media at Timmery. That's TimmerIe. Chris, you know, I'm looking at all of this. We're talking about food. We're talking about all these different elements. And I love it because in your article, and you've said this now as well, you kind of end up deciding to treat the day like a retreat. Like if we were on a retreat, we would have time for praise and worship music. We would have time for togetherness and meal and eating meals and praying. And, you know, I think that this is a really good opportunity. Yet again, like here is the bright side of the coronavirus and everyone being home. We can work on our productivity. And one of those things is having a time blocked calendar and being more intentional with what we do throughout the day. Don't just let it be now. Create new habits, better habits, so that you can, again, savor every moment of your life, not just a temporary quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God works for our good in all circumstances, you know, and so here, God is working in this, and it might be hard to see, but he is, right? And so why not set up a schedule that's going to help you see it? You know, we had family prayer time this morning, and it was awesome. You know, we spent a little time in worship. We put on a worship song today, you know, and we sang with it. And it felt a little awkward and weird, but that's okay because it's an offering to the Lord, right? It's a gift to him. It's not about me. It's about him. We did a little Lectio Divina. We read the scripture. We just spent some time reflecting on it, and we shared what was standing out and what we believe God was saying into our family at that time. And then we spent some time of intercession. We prayed the rosary. We prayed for, you know, our world. We prayed for our country. We prayed for some of the other little kids who are dealing with cancer that we know. There's a little boy on the other side of the country who's a year younger than my son, Ben. Ben, who was just diagnosed about 2 months ago. And so we pray for little Ben every day because we've just connected with that family. So we intercede for little Ben, you know, or for, you know, some of the doctors that we work with who are older, who are in the risk group. And it's just a time to connect. And then we have our family meeting. How's everybody doing? You know, here are the things that have to get done today. We kind of review what's our plan. And it's just a really beautiful moment. Like, you know, how different is that than just sort of waking up and watching TV all day? You know, we want to thrive.
Yeah. And I can't help but keep saying this. This is a time for fun, for joy, for board games, for being intentional. And, you know, we could take this all for granted. We could not pay attention to those around us. We could, you know, just assume that we'll have more time later on to get things done or whatever it might be. But, you know, isn't it kind of this comparison in our spiritual life? We have this attitude like, I can always go to confession later, or, you know, my faith does matter. But like when I'm retired, or, you know, maybe on the weekend, I'll spend a little bit more time, like just on Sunday. Well, we could do that with the coronavirus and have the same attitude like, I'll get things done later. I'm just going to lay on the couch now. And then all of a sudden, coronavirus is over, quarantine's up. And then, you know, all these people are like totally overwhelmed. Like, I never got my taxes done. Like, the comparison is so real. And this time right now is so unique. Like, dive into the lives of the saints. You know, choose to maybe jump in and do the consecration to St. Joseph. Start it from the beginning. I mean, that's been a huge thing this year with Father Calloway's book and this consecration to St. Joseph and his powerful intercession as Father of the Holy Family. I mean, these are some of the things that we can just absolutely love and savor right now.
Oh my, you know, I was at baptism and they said St. Joseph, terror of demons. I thought, oh, I love that.
Yes.
And it's just been a constant, oh boy, have I added that intercession in my prayers. You know, it's funny you said board games. My family, I think, is waiting to start game time until after we're done with the show here. And yeah, it's been great. I mean, and each kid's picking a different game. Like, they get to pick the game their day. Yesterday we played sequence. Today we're doing more of a party game. And we try to make it work at all the age groups, which can be a challenge, but it's fun. You know, we're together. And so praying together, playing together, eating together. And then, of course, you know, I think scheduling alone time is huge, too. Everybody needs
yes.
a little alone time, right? Don't forget that. So make time for your personal prayer or to go read quietly or to do whatever. I mean, that's going to be important, too, right? We need it.
That reminds me, if you didn't catch the episode we released earlier on in the week, we talked about things such as what you do in conflict. You know, we're all together more often right now, how to resolve conflict quickly and well and to make it a better practice in our day-to-day lives. So be sure to head over to radiotrending.com to catch that episode. It'll be very helpful, again, not just right now in a quarantine, but also moving forward. And Chris, I keep coming back to, you know, having that schedule right now to be efficient and to enjoy your time. You know, I was very blessed to have the opportunity to receive formation in a monastic type of lifestyle. You know, I spent a month living the monastic lifestyle in terms of, you know, praying 5 hours a day and scheduled reading time and scheduled studying, scheduled outdoor activity, all these different things. And it was really an incredible opportunity for me to remember that we need all of these components to life: fresh air, exercise, you know, time to just delight in each other's company, but also plan time to work and plan time to pray. This is exactly what you've been saying, and I just love what you have to say there at your article, Planning to Thrive, at everydaycatholic.com. Any last thoughts?
You know, this could be an incredible blessing, or it could be a terrible trial. And I think, you know, planning, it can be all the difference. And so let it be a gift. Let the Lord love you in and through this as well.
Amen. That's Chris Mueller from everydaycatholic.com. Stay tuned. His show, Everyday Catholic, will be available soon on EWTN Friendly for all of the family. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and would like to leave us some feedback, hear a topic, just head over to radiotrending.com. Again, that's radiotrending.com.
This has been Trending with Timmery. To book her to speak or learn more about her guests, visit radiotrending.com. You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes.